well, these guys are getting set up. Fabulous Etons, everybody. Give them a hand. Christian Seale on drums, Chris Ingerman on bass, and Marcello on keyboards. Also, I just want to say thanks to our national sponsors. You see their banners up there. White Wave, Makers of Silk, Rudy's Organic Bakery, Celestial Seasonings, Galaxy Nutritional Foods, and New Belgium Brewery. Thank you so much. Or New Belgium Brewing Company, I should say. All fine, fine companies that enable all of us to be here for the ridiculously modest ticket price that you paid this evening. Are you guys ready?
Superlatives with different artists to load praise on people and call somebody the best or the latest or the greatest or the most this or that. And it's not always either particularly meaningful or even true sometimes. This week, however, we have got some folks who really are at the very top of their game. Amazing players, amazing singers, writers, performers, people who are committed to giving whatever it takes to make great art, great human expression in whatever form it takes. Our first guests, two artists who achieved great success on their own, who have their own distinctive voices, and then came together both as a couple and as partners in a really remarkable band, a big band made up of friends who are aiming in the same creative direction. They make a joyful noise. I heard these guys last night in front of about 8,000 people, and they are ready to play for you guys right now. Please welcome our first guest this week, the Tedeschi Trust Band.
Thank you.
Expression. Do you think about singing when you're playing a solo, or is it just sort of? I mean, it's probably not much different. You're just expressing what you're feeling that's coming out.
Yeah, I think the slide is great for that too. You can be real lyrical and vocal with it. So, and being surrounded by great singers, whether it's Susan or Mike or Mark or Greg or Warren or whoever, you're constantly hearing these inflections and melodies, and so I'm ripping them all off all the time. Checks in the mail.
No, you still have to have the ideas actually inside you, as much as you say you're ripping them off. I mean, I think you still have to have something to say. Once you cultivate your instrument and get it all going, you still need to be able to come up with those ideas.
Yeah, we listen to so much music on the bus, and we're surrounded by people with great collections, so we're hearing new things all the time.
And you studied different things too, didn't you? Study a little Indian music, or did you learn, was it sarod or something like that? Or?
I sat in on some classes, but you know, he would make all the instrumentalists take the vocal classes. His whole thing was you should be singing through your instruments, so that crystallized it.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, let's talk a little bit about family. I know, Susan, we were talking before about, you know, having older brothers and how they pushed you just a little bit, right?
Yeah, they used to pick on me and tell me I couldn't sing good. So I told them I was going to show them.
Certainly there's a wave of sibling bullying that takes heat across the nation as parents encourage their kids to bully their younger siblings. You as an example.
I was a little extreme though. I mean, they used to tell me I couldn't play basketball, and I would try to prove them wrong there too, even though they were about 2 feet taller than me.
Yeah. There's a tune we do in our set called "That Bit." It's an old Bobby Brown tune, and when she's taking that guitar solo, that's when I can see that chip on her shoulder. We're going to get in front of that. So that's one of the tunes that she's like, play solo. Absolutely not.
All you, she will crush you.
It's not fair.
And Derek, your family obviously is, you know, taught to music in so many ways, certainly through your uncle and deep into the Allman Brothers when you were a kid. Did they push you at all in a musical direction?
You know, if anything, I think my parents were apprehensive because they had seen that scene. When I first started playing in the late 80s, the Allman Brothers were on hiatus. It had all kind of blown up. So they weren't that excited about it in the beginning. But, you know, once you start playing and they see what you have, and you know, parents want to cultivate what your kids are into. So I would start singing at local blues bars, and one thing leads to another. The type of music we play, you know, if you play sports, there's an obvious avenue. But you can't go to school for what we do, really. I mean, you're constantly learning. You got to get out with the musicians that do it and the people that have lived it. And, you know, so I got a great head start that way.
Right. Did your parents or older siblings or anybody give you the discipline? Because you must have a lot of self-discipline in order just to be able to play as well as you can do. I mean, aside from just doing it all the time, you must have had to really wish it.
I, you know, I think I just got lucky with the, I don't know if I've learned that from anybody, but yeah. Self-discipline.
No. Who doesn't? She's saying no.
No, he doesn't really know, he actually does discipline himself naturally. I think one of the things is because he has seen so many people take the wrong road, that as a young kid seeing that, he was like, I'm not going that direction. So he never took the avenue of drugs and all that crazy, you know, madness.
I was fortunate that my dad was on the road with me until I was 17. And, he didn't completely shield me from, he let me see what was going on. I mean, he would shield me, you can't get too close. But he made sure I was aware of what was going on. So then when you see stories and people crashing and burning, you know why it happened. It's not just in a vacuum. So it was good. I was
demystifies it.
It does, you know. And I mean, especially in the circles we run in, you see a lot of people spin out of control. So you gotta watch yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I just can only imagine what it must be like for you thinking about listening to those records. Obviously, you know, the Allman Brothers, and listening to Wayne, and listening to Derek and the Dominoes, and Eric Clapton, and all that stuff, and then you sort of blink your eyes, and now you're on stage, and you're a member of the Allman Brothers, or you're on stage, and you're a member of Eric Clapton's band, and you go, oh yeah, it's Eric, and I'm playing these guys. It's kind of a wild, it must surprise you from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, it's surreal for all of us. I mean, Susan getting to play with B.B. King and Buddy Guy, Bob Dylan, Willie and Willie. all of the guys in this band, the Burbage brothers, getting to spend time with Herbie Hancock and learn Herbie tunes with Herbie. And that's stuff you never imagined when you're first starting to play. And they're your heroes. And to actually get to make music with these people is something that's not lost on us when it's happening. It's it's rare that you have those moments where while it's happening, you're thinking, I'm going to be telling this story to my grandkids. usually you go through that stuff and then you think back on what was great, but we've been fortunate. There's been a lot of things that while it's happening, you're fully aware of it.
Well, it's all happening and it's all for good reason. The band is amazing. I just want to talk a little bit about being married and prior to this having two separate bands and two separate careers and two separate directions and two separate kids. You know, you have two kids together, and so how did all that work with the touring and the all that stuff?
I have no idea. Just kidding.
It takes a lot of work. I mean, we're juggling constantly, but our kids were born. We were doing this already, so it's what they know. They're well traveled. They've been around
the
world. They're so comfortable
with
any situation. Yeah, they get on the bus and go right to the bunk.
Yeah.
This is my area. But it's great. I mean, my mom watches the kids while we're away. My brother and his wife live right down the street. It's a village. And it's the only way we could do it. We're really fortunate.
And we were, again, talking about family. And I'm sure you always imagined maybe dreamed of having a day where you guys would be put a band together. And you took a chance building a studio at your house. And that was kind of a gamble, right?
A couple things. I mean, we definitely always wanted to play together. And it just never really happened. You know, we were always busy making records or touring. And it was really difficult to slow down. And then right when we were about to, we got the gig to do a Clapton. I'm like, well, you gotta do that. So, see you later. These things come up and you can't miss these opportunities, so it just finally was the right time. We finally started to slow down a little bit, and once again he's like, you want to do it? I'm like, sure, let's do it.
When we built the studio, the Clapton gig came up, and me and Susan talked about it and said, I had this idea of going to build a studio. We're going to pretend that this gig didn't happen. I'm just going to live exactly like we were before. And every check is going right into the studio. We were worried about it at first, but then you see the stock market tank. You're like, the studio is still there.
Yes. Well, I mean, this band is, your band is like a family too. You know, thinking about this family connection. This band, I think maybe it was, I don't know whether making the record at your home or just making the record with your friends, or but does it seems that way.
It feels so much better than any other record I've ever made. I'm usually very stressed out in the studio because I enjoy seeing people and faces and playing and feeling, and a lot of times I get stuck in a box trying to sing by myself and I can't even see the band, and this is the first time I actually can see the band when I'm recording, and these guys are family. We might have different last names, but we're all related. Definitely love each other in this band, for sure.
Yeah, and there's something great about having a studio there. We would have never been able to spend the time we did if it's by the hour.
Right.
Like having the studio there, you don't have to worry about running out the bill, because as long as you can keep the power on, you're okay. So we got to pretend that we were like the Rolling Stones in 1974, record in the studio in the same space, living it for 6 months. And
lots of Stone and drunk movie stars drifting in and out.
Oh yeah, a lot of that. Drop the kids off at school. I think we've learned from the mistakes, most of them.
Well, what I love about this band is that it's kind of like the world's biggest hot rod, monster truck, powerful behemoth thing that you can also kind of bring down, and it just kind of purrs at eye level. It's just chugs along, and then if you need to, let it out, it's all there. It's a big, powerful thing.
Yeah, it's a beast of a band.
But it's nimble. These guys are good listeners.
Everybody listens so hard. I mean, it can sound like a trio or just a duet or 11 or 100 people is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, last thing before we get back to music, because we've got a lot of music ahead of us. It's just interesting being connected to, you know, just getting to know you guys a little bit over the years being here and also just seeing you as parents and now embarking on this new endeavor. And I'm just imagining what the transition is for you as parents, thinking about, because I get a feeling that some of the songs that you're drawn to come from, or at least you're inspired by, informed by the late 60s, early 70s time period. And there's a cause around a lot of those days, you know, a lot of those songs, whether it's civil rights or Vietnam War, whatever the times were. And I'm just thinking about you guys as parents and musicians, and whether those issues are relevant for you now.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, we come from a background where music was more than just entertainment. It was more than selling yourself and some weird lifestyle. It was about your life and being honest and living and working through it, and having kids and a family is a huge part of that. And we don't separate what we do as a band with our life, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you have to be conscious, you have to be aware. It's a scary time to be alive, it's a scary time to have kids, so you obviously try to do what you can to make it better. And I think the music we play and what we get to do, it's one of the few things left that you can constantly put it out there, and the returns, what you're given and what you're getting it just adds up, it just multiplies. It's a pretty amazing thing.
I took in a lot of listen to our records when some other records maybe were not allowed to listen to.
And are there any causes or issues or things, concerns that you have in particular that you lend your music to, either as doing benefits or other things?
You know, all the time when we get a call, if it fits the schedule and it's the right thing, we try as much as we can. I can't say there's one or two, stuff. But yeah, I mean, we play a lot.
We just played in Albuquerque, New Mexico for a foundation called New Day. And New Day actually houses homeless children between 11 and 18. And it tries to give them essentials that they need to get on with their life, you know, because they, you know, basically comes down to parenting. You don't have any parents or any kind of role models. How do you know, what you're supposed to do every day? Even the simple things like brushing your teeth every day and combing your hair and how do you get a job and, you know, all these things that you need to be on your own. So things like that are important, you know, foundations like that. And then we also work with back home, the St. John's Riverkeeper, trying to keep our waterways healthy. You know, that's a very important thing for me. You know, if everybody took care of their own backyard, you know, that would be an amazing feat in itself.
We try to go local when we can.
Exactly. Go local
so behind that big badass rock and roll facade are a couple of real softies. You know, I tell you what, I think it has to come from that place. I think, you know, to sing and play like you guys do, you have to have huge hearts. So we hear it.
Cool, man.
Yeah. And let's get back to music. Welcome back. We're making the Jazz and Truck Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca Moore, then my grandson, Derek.
Thank you. comes from the person, Mark Meadows, and the focus of the technology and the focus. Put the words on the sax, voice, down on the trumpet. Sally Simmons on the trombone. The CD, which I really encourage you to take on his brother, the brother David. So this is the sax band, folks. Shows next month. Our next show here at the Boulder Theater is going to be with. We got time for one more song. I want to thank everybody for being on the show. I want to thank Mr. Joseph Arthur for coming out to New York City. Our award winner, Cindy Gilbert, helping kids and families with disability. Next again, with the Best of Trucks Band. This is definitely going to be a
Thank you.